Hi, I must apologize for missing my cue earlier. I'm often running late, and I was very determined to get here on time, which I did, but I did not have my poems with me. But I have them now to share with you. I did. So my first poem is one for beginnings. It's called How the Yarn Became Shape. It began with a book, How to Knit Socks, 5 borrowed double-pointed needles, which is what the book said I'd need, and a greenish spool of yarn. Choosing the yarn color was my favorite part. And then came days of reading and rereading knitting codes. Slip one, purl to one stitch before a gap, purl two together, purl one, turn. Watching YouTube videos until I could mimic the difference between knit two together and slip, slip, knit. Because the yarn was thin, the needles small, my fingers new, progress was slow. My interest waned, overwhelmed with a pick up 13 I didn't understand. I'd do a slew of stitches on the couch with Sunday afternoon football, then weeks when I left the blooming sock untouched. More stitches while riding the bus, more, slowly, until the yarn became shape. Finished, I wrapped the sock for Christmas, gave it to my mom with the promise for one more. When I forget what I'm dedicated to, I imagine when I was small, my age still counted by weeks. My parents might have dressed me in that mint green dress with red and yellow flowers, embroidered in delicate X stitches across the front by a great-grandmother I can't remember. They must have carried me into the church altar, passed my small body to the pastor, my grandfather. Maybe then he held me, even held my hand, and dedicated me to the life he said I was called to lead. I like to imagine this now that he's gone, and I think of him in historical phrases like civil rights advocate, radical Anabaptist preacher, now that people periodically tell me, your grandpa was a great man, to make sure I know. I can't recall him ever holding me, but he must have blessed me. Archaeologists uncover human bones in Jamestown, Virginia. The thing of her, what remains? One cavernous half-skull, a jaw that still hosts shocking white teeth, and a fragment of leg. Archaeologists call her Jane and interpret her bones, clear chops to the forehead, sawing on the jaw, by someone unfamiliar with slaughtering animals, they say. The ones who cut her flesh did not know what they were doing. This morning news interrupts my breakfast. The 14-year-old girl unearthed from a pile of food scraps after 400 years. Proof. History told us there were hundreds stranded during the dead of winter. We had wandered. We knew they starved. We knew they ate their pets. They even ate their shoes. I glance at my shoes, made in China, and think how I could never choke them down. In records, the colonists wrote famine, but the bones record what they would not write, cannibal. Unimaginable, I say. I shake my head and pull my pet close for comfort. Their ruins read starvation. While I eat, I wonder how they felt. Overwhelming desperation, yearning. I'm not a stranger to those pangs. I do not know what I would do. This next poem is my sonnet of sorts. It's called The Skips and Gaps of Streaming TV Shows. Mid-Netflix, the computer battery dies. The screen goes blank. It reflects our bodies pressed against living room couches. We rise, searching for the computer cord. Through the window, we notice the flashing lights of police visiting the neighbors. When we open the front door, a policewoman from the street commands, "Stay inside and keep your door closed." We do, and through the window, we see snipers crouch on the roof across the street, staring through the scope above their guns. With our smartphones, we search local news and learn there's a hostage in a house on our block. We say, that's like something we saw on TV once. Which reminds us that we need to find our cord so we can finish watching our show. And my last poem is a very short one for spring. It's called Opening the Land. She gazes across the weedy plot where she will spend hours making dirt fertile for planting. She nods, lifts the old shovel, points it downward into the dry clay soil brimming with rocks. The land won't break for her determined arms and gritted teeth until she steps onto the shovel and shatters the surface with all of her body.